ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ एंजॉयमेंट टेक्स्ट नंबर 24। Sorry, text number 23. Yeah, 24. Text number 24. Muktastato yadi bandad devadatta upachinati तस्मादपि विष्णुमित्र इति अन्वस्थिति। ट्रांसलेशन, स्टीलिंग और चीटिंग अनदर पर्सन आउट ऑफ हिज मनी, द कंडीशन सोल समहाउ और अदर कीप्स इट इन हिज पोजेशन एंड एस्केप्स पनिशमेंट। देन अनदर मैन नेम्ड देवदत्त चीट्स हिम एंड टेक्स द मनी अवे। Similarly, another man named Vishnumitra steals the money from Devadatta and takes it away. In any case, the money does not stay in one place. It passes from one hand to another. Ultimately, no one can enjoy the money and it remains the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace L.A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Riches come from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and the goddess of fortune is the property of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goddess of fortune cannot stay anywhere but by the side of Narayan. Therefore, another of her names is Chanchala, restless. She cannot be peaceful unless she is in the company of her husband, Narayan. For example, Lakshmi was carried away by the materialistic Ravana. Ravana kidnapped Sita, the goddess of fortune belonging to Lord Ram. As a result, Ravana's entire family, opulence and kingdom were smashed, and Sita, the goddess of fortune, was recovered from his clutches and reunited with Lord Ram. Thus all property, riches and wealth belong to Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, and he is the supreme proprietor of all the planetary systems. Foolish materialistic people collect money and steal from other thieves, but they cannot keep it. In any case, it must be spent. One person cheats another, and another person cheats someone else. Therefore, the best way to possess Lakshmi is to keep her by the side of Narayan. This is the point of the Krishna consciousness movement. We worship Lakshmi, Radharani, along with Narayan, Krishna. We collect money from various sources, but that money does not belong to anyone but Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. If money is utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, the devotee automatically lives in an opulent way. However, if one wants to enjoy Lakshmi the way Ravana did, he will be vanquished by the laws of nature, and whatever few possessions he has will be taken away. Finally, death will take everything away, and death is the representative of Krishna. Hare Krishna. One time, Her Grace Malati Prabhu, she had bought her friend for Prabhupada's lecture in San Francisco. And this was a young 22-year-old girl, and she was hearing Prabhupada speak. And suddenly, in the middle of the lecture, she started shouting. She started saying, "I want to have union with God through sex." Prabhupada didn't chastise her, didn't scold her, didn't make fun of her. He very compassionately explained to her. But still, after some time, again she shouted, "I want to have union with God through sex." So this happened 3-4 times. Finally, Prabhupada said, "Okay, you take Krishna through sex, we will take Krishna through chanting." And he picked up his kartals and started kirtan. Besides showing how Prabhupada preached in such horrible circumstances and such challenging situations, this pastime also reveals how this deadly force of lust can cover the intelligence completely and can overwhelm a person. And we are seeing in this episode that Srila Sukadeva Goswami is giving a very nice purport to the instruction that Jarabharat gave to Maharaj Rauguna. And Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit how this material world is actually a forest where a conditioned soul gets lost in his attempts to exploit the resources of material nature, and he never enjoys. And he compares, Sukadeva Goswami compares different things in this forest, the creepers, the pythons, the friends and relatives, to jackals and wolves. So these explanations he is giving, and we've been hearing over the past few days how Prabhupada is also writing in these purports heavy statements about the power of lust. Of course, for devotees, we know this problem, and devotees generally have this question, how do we overcome it? Since I am not qualified to speak on how we can overcome, because I am myself struggling with this anartha, but at least we can discuss from the scriptures how we can face this enemy and what we can do when we are attacked by this force. So we'll discuss four solutions for this problem. We should understand that these modes are very, very strong, and any time they can overwhelm a sadhaka who is presently struggling in the anartha nivritti stage, which Satsvarupa Maharaj calls a long intermediate zone, where we are kind of trapped and we are struggling to come out of this stage. So the first and the most important solution is we have to develop love for Krishna. All other solutions fade if we don't actually cultivate this desire to love Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Vishaye je priti hobe achaye amar, sei mata priti hoka charane tomar. That my dear Krishna, the kind of attachment and intensity I have towards enjoying the sense object, Vishaye je priti hobe achaye amar, sei mata priti hoka. Let me have that same intensity towards charane tomar, towards your lotus feet. So devotees are always praying to develop, they are desiring to love Krishna. And we find all our acharyas representing this mood of wanting to actually come to a stage of loving Krishna. Rupa Goswami also prays, Yutinam yata yuni yunam sha yuvato yatha mano bi ramate tadvan mano me ramatam tvai. He is saying that just like Yutinam yata yuni, just like a young boy is completely captivated by a young girl, Yunam sha yuvato yatha, and like she is completely attracted to a young boy, mano bhi ramate tadvan, let my mind also be attracted to you in the same way, mano me ramatam tvai. So young girl and a young boy, when they meet, they experience, not exactly when they meet, when they anticipate meeting, because when they meet, things might turn out differently. But when they anticipate to enjoy and meet, the kind of feeling they have, that same intensity acharyas express that they want to cultivate with regards to Krishna. And we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, different descriptions are given how we can develop this love for Krishna. And we find a consistent theme where Sukadeva Goswami is explaining how we should meditate on Krishna's beautiful archa form, and we can develop this attraction and love for Krishna. We find Lord Kapila Dev also explaining, Hasam Harer Avanathakila Lokativra. He is giving a technique to overcome this influence of lust by saying, we should meditate on Krishna's smile. And then he is saying, if you meditate on Krishna's smile, Shokasru Sagara Vishoshanam. Each person has so much lamentation and so much struggle in his heart that this can fill an ocean. Shokashru Sagara, the tears of one person can fill an ocean. But Krishna's smile is so enchanting that it can, Vishoshanam, it can dry up that entire ocean. And then he's saying, Bhrumandala Munikrite Makara Dvajasya. Besides meditating on Krishna's smile, one should also meditate on Krishna's eyebrows. And when you meditate on Krishna's eyebrows, Brumandala Munikrite Makara Dvajasya. Makara Dvaja means Cupid. Cupid is waiting with his arrows to attack us. And when he's seeing that this devotee is absorbed in meditating on Krishna's smile and Krishna's eyebrows, he becomes captured. So Cupid cannot attack a devotee who is absorbed in this meditation. And then Kapila Dev also says in the next verse, Dhyanayanam Prahasitam Baula Daroshta. After meditating on Krishna's smile, eyebrows, one should meditate on Krishna's laughter. Krishna also laughs. Dhyanayanam Prahasitam Baula Daroshta Bhasaru Nayata Tanu Dvijakunda Pankti. And when Krishna laughs, his pearl-like teeth, they shine radiantly. And one should meditate on this form. And we also find in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukhdev Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit has asked a few questions, especially two questions. What is the duty of a person at every time? And what is the duty of a person at the time of death? While replying to these questions, in the second chapter of the second canto, Sukhdev Goswami explains what exactly is Krishna's beauty. Then he explains why we should meditate on Krishna's beauty. And then he explains what is the result of meditating, or rather, how we should meditate on Krishna's beauty. These three. What is Krishna's beauty? Why we should meditate on it, on this beautiful form of Krishna? And thirdly, how to meditate? He says, Vibhushitam me kalayanguli akir mahadhaner no purakankanadibi snigda malakun chitani lakunthalair virochamananahasapeshalam. He says, Krishna is decorated with beautiful ornaments. Vibhushitam me kalayanguliyake. And his fingers are anointed with beautiful rings. Mahadhaner nupura kankanadivi. And he has got different ornaments even on his ankles, on his lotus feet. And then he's saying, snigda malakun chitani lakunthalair. He's describing Krishna's hair. He's saying it is snigda, means it's slick. And amala, it is spotless and it has a bluish tint. And it is also curly. Snigda malakun chitani lakuntalair viro chamana nanahasa peshalam. And then one should meditate on Krishna's smile, which is very pleasing. And when one meditates on this beautiful form of Krishna, one feels completely satiated. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that Sukhdev Goswami is giving this description so that if there are any impersonalists, they can understand that Krishna is a person in fact and figure. He is not some imagination. And then Sukhdev Goswami says, why we should meditate on this beautiful form of Krishna? Adina lila hasite kshano lasad brubanga samsuchita buranugraham iksheta chinta mayamenam ishwaram yavan manodharanayavatishtate. He says Krishna performs all his pastimes adina lila hasite kshano lasad, and he is smiling always because this is his buri anugraham, this is his greatest benediction on all of us. This is Krishna's greatest benediction on the living entity that is coming to this material world and revealing this transcendental form so that we can be captivated by this form. Iksheta chinta mayamenam ishwaram yavan manodharanayavatishtate. And one should meditate on this form, iksheta chinta mayamenam ishwaram yavan manodharanayavatishtate. As long as one can meditate, one should meditate on this form of Krishna. And while explaining this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that the grossest type of anartha that is attacking all the conditioned souls is sex desire. And Prabhupada explains how when we meditate on this beautiful form of Krishna, gradually this sex desire evaporates and one becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada also quotes Shripad Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who also says that one should meditate on Krishna and develop love for Krishna to overcome this problem. And then how should we meditate on Krishna? That Sukhdev Goswami explains in the next verse. Ekaika shongani dhyanu bhavayet padadiyavad hasitam gadabrita jitam jitam sthanam apoyadharet परम परम शुद्यति धीर्यता यथा एकै कशोंगानी. वन बाय वन स्टेप बाय स्टेप वी हैव टू मेडिटेट ऑन कृष्णास डिफरेंट लिम्स. पादादि यावद् हसितं गदावृत. फ्रॉम लोटस फीट ऑनवर्ड्स वी गो अप एंड देन कम टू द स्माइल ऑफ कृष्ण. एंड व्हेन वी डू दैट जितम जितम स्थानम अपोय धारयेत. स्लोली बट श्योरली द माइंड विल बी कंट्रोल्ड. परम परम शुद्यति धीर्यता यथा. वील बी गोइंग हायर एंड हायर. माइंड विल बी कंट्रोल्ड स्लोली बट श्योरली एंड वील ऑल्सो बी इंक्रीजिंग इन अवर मेडिटेशन एंड एब्जॉर्प्शन इन कृष्ण. एंड ही सेइंग परम परम शुद्यति धीर्यता यथा. शुद्यति धीर. धीर मीन्स इंटेलिजेंस. एंड Sukadev Goswami is saying that when we meditate on Krishna, the intelligence gets purified. And Srila Prabhupada, he explains in the purport that purification of intelligence is synonymous with, when we say purification of intelligence, that is same as detachment from sex pleasure, sense gratification. So as one increases his love and attraction towards Krishna, his desire to enjoy sense gratification reduces. One time Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco again. Wayne Gunderson, one young man, was coming for Prabhupada's programs and he wanted initiation from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, and he had a difficulty in following the fourth regulative principle of no illicit sex. So Prabhupada said, you want initiation? Do you know all the regulative principles? He said, yes. Prabhupada said, do you have any difficulty in following any? And he said, yes, Prabhupada, I have difficulty in following the regulative principle of no meat eating. He lied. And Prabhupada laughed as if he understood what his problem was. Prabhupada said, no problem, you take prasad, you will overcome this problem. And then he got initiation as Upendra Das, but still this problem continued to haunt him. And he came to Prabhupada one day and he said, Prabhupada, I want to get married, but my question is, how can you get married to a girl if you don't love her? And how can you love a girl if you don't have sex with her? So Prabhupada immediately caught his hand and took him to the window. And there were a lot of people walking on the road and he said, see there? Pick up any one of them. He pointed to some of the women walking. And he said, love is only for Krishna. There is no love in this material world. Prabhupada emphatically declared. And then Prabhupada said, Prabhupada didn't get Upendra married. He said, I will make you my personal assistant. And Prabhupada made him his servant. And then he overcame this problem by serving Prabhupada and by being with devotees. Now somebody might say, I don't have this desire to love Krishna. I can't love Krishna. But though we might not have love for Krishna right now, but there is no force on earth which can stop us from desiring to love Krishna. Because we say that there are three doers, living entity, material nature and Krishna. Living entity is a doer only to the extent that he can desire. There is nothing else a living entity can actually do. So if a living entity desires intensely to love Krishna and prays for this, then Krishna definitely reciprocates. Because Krishna is there in the heart and is watching every moment what we are desiring. Like he's on with this, he's ready with his camera. Like I remember sometime back, a few years ago, we had one devotee here, Arjun Parker Prabhu. 24 hours he would be roaming with the camera. I remember one day we got up in the morning at 4:20, temple hall, and suddenly he was right in front of me with the camera. And we were taking bath in the bathroom, he was there outside waiting to shoot. So devotees were very conscious of his video camera. In the Mangalarati, we would be sometimes a little spaced out, complacent, and he would come from this side and he would show his camera. And again, suddenly we would become alert. So one devotee was pointing out, actually, if we remember that Krishna is also in our heart with a video camera, he is recording every second what we are desiring, what we are wanting to do in life. So if we become conscious of this, then we will also develop love for Krishna. However, again, given the constraints and given our conditionings, to develop this desire to love Krishna also might be difficult. So we have the second solution, that we have to consistently develop understanding of Krishna and this enemy of lust. Understanding and knowledge. Like Krishna tells Arjuna in the Gita, that you have to develop a higher taste because yatato api kaunteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prasabhamana. The senses are impetuous. They will drag us away. And therefore, what is the solution? Krishna says, tani sarvani sayamya yukta asita matpara. Because the senses are wild and impetuous, Arjuna, Yukta Asita Matpara. Engage them in my service. So we have to read the scriptures and understand this. And therefore scriptures say that material world is Maitun Agar. Agar means depot. Depot, like we have Bag Bay Depot, Mayim Depot, where all the buses are there. So similarly, what the scripture says that material world is a sex depot, where there is only lust and sex everywhere. And a materialistic person, Lord Krishna explains in the 16th chapter of Gita, that he is convinced that there is nothing other than lust. Aparasparam sambhutam kimanyet kama etukam. There is no cause in this world of anything except sex desire. And he works hard. It's not that he doesn't work hard. Kamopa bhoga parama etavad iti nishchita. He is determined. All determination is based on sex desire. Therefore, a devotee understands that this is a deadly enemy. And when Cupid shoots his arrow, that flower arrow, the media glorifies this arrow as soft and pleasing. But actually, this arrow is very piercing and very painful. The scriptures say that the first arrow that strikes is the arrow of Harshanam, feeling of engladdenment in the heart. So when the arrow of Cupid attacks us, we feel happy. But then there are four other arrows following that. After Harshanam, a person is struck by the second arrow of Cupid, which is called as Smaranam. He starts meditating on that object. A man meditates on a woman meditates on a man. Smaranam. And that Smaranam leads to Rochanam. Rochanam is a stage when the third arrow of Cupid is attacking, by which a person becomes, Rochanam means the senses go wild. They desperately want to possess that object. And this Rochanam leads to the fourth stage called Karshanam. Karshanam is when there is intense pain and suffering. Just like if we rub our hand against a freshly cemented brick wall, it will pain. So this kind of pain is experienced in the heart of a person who is attacked by this arrow of Karshanam. And this, and Cupid doesn't stop here. He shoots his another arrow, which is called as Shoshanam. This is a stage of complete weakness. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra ki jai. And then, the Shoshanam is the arrow which makes a person completely weak. He loses his sleep, he can't eat anything. And finally, the sixth arrow that Cupid shoots is Maranam. A person actually dies. And this problem doesn't go at some stage in life unless we work on it. Recently, there was news that in Atlanta, one young lady, she killed a boyfriend because he was double-timing her. He was having another affair with another lady. Somebody might say, this is nothing great. This happens all the while, everywhere. But it is shocking because this lady, Lena Edriscoll, this lady was simply 78 years old. And her boyfriend whom she murdered, he was 83. That means even at that age, this desire is there, intense and strong. So it won't go on its own. So one has to develop an understanding of the deadly impact of this. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in one place, to quote him, he says in one class, if you don't study my books daily, intelligence will be contaminated by Maya and you won't even realize it till it's too late. Therefore, one has to develop knowledge through scriptures and understand that this is a powerful enemy. Now, how we can develop love for Krishna and understanding? The first two solutions can be developed when we accept the third solution, that is shelter. Shelter of Vaishnavas and shelter of holy name. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says these are the only two real things in the world, holy name and Vaishnavas. And we find in the scriptures, a couple of days ago, Gaurang Prabhu was explaining about Kala Krishna Das, this pastime, how Kala Krishna Das was associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he was on the South India Yatra, he got carried away by the Bhattahari women. They lured him away. So Kaviraj Goswami explains, Stridana Dekhana Tanra Lobha Janmaila Arya Sarala Viprera Buddhina Shakaila. Krishnadas, Kaviraj Goswami is saying that Kala Krishnadas Stridana Dekhana, he saw women he saw that allurement by these Bhattaharis and he went away. And we should remember, Kala Krishnadas was not some sex monger. He was actually a devotee. He was Arya. Arya means he was a civilized person. He was a gentleman. Sometimes we might think, I'm a gentleman, I'm simple. I won't fall victim to this problem. But Kala Krishnadas was Arya. He was a gentleman and he was also Sarala. He was simple. Arya Sarala Viprera. He was also Brahminical in his qualities. But still, Buddhi Nasha Kela. Still his intelligence got contaminated. And one morning when Mahaprabhu got up, he saw that Kala Krishnadas is not there. So then Mahaprabhu understood that he has gone to the Bhattahari camp. Mahaprabhu came there, picked him up by his shika and bought him. And after coming back to Jagannath Puri, he handed him over to Sarvama Bhattacharya and told him that I don't want to do anything with him. My responsibility is over. And thus externally Mahaprabhu rejected him. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Kala Krishnadas was an associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and still he fell victim. What is our hope? Therefore, one has to be very, very conscientious and very careful. And there Prabhupada says, the problem arose because of misusing our slight independence. We all have slight independence. And when we misuse it, we become trapped by this power of lust. And then he was crying helplessly, but Mahaprabhu ignored him and went to take his afternoon lunch. And when he went, Kala Krishnadas had no hope. But then at that time, these stalwart devotees, they came together to help him. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Nityananda Jagadananda Mukunda Damodar Chari Jane Yukti Tave Kurila Antar. Lord Nityananda himself, Jagadananda Pandit, Mukunda, Damodar Pandit, all of them, stalwart devotees, senior-most devotees, they came together. 2.5 years ago, on one Sunday feast class, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a class on this topic. And he said, senior-most devotees came together to help a new bhakta who was having problem. So this is Vaishnava culture, when devotees take shelter of devotees and devotees come together and they help. And also I was hearing a tape from the library, How to Avoid Fall Down. In that also he mentions the same point, that one has to somehow chant attentively, do his sadhana and have good relationship with devotees, then one won't fall down. And then he also says that, but despite this somebody might fall down. Then what? Then he says, then simply do two things. Somehow complete your 16 rounds. Even if it is not quality, because you're in a fallen state. Somehow finish your 16 rounds. And secondly, don't blame devotees or circumstances for your situation. Because it's very easy that when we have problems, we might blame other devotees. And if we somehow do these two, it's just a matter of time before a devotee comes back to Krishna. For then he was very happy because these four devotees came together, they had a meeting, and they came out with a brilliant solution that Kala Krishnadas should go to Navadvip, because they are all thinking what happened to Mahaprabhu. They knew that Mahaprabhu had gone to South India tour, so they wanted to get a report of what happened. They wanted to know if Mahaprabhu has come back. For their friend Krishnadas with Jagannath Mahaprasad and with this good news. And he went and he informed all the devotees, and the devotees were ecstatic to hear that Mahaprabhu has come back. And he went to Sachimata, Shivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Shivananda Sen, Murari Gupta, Vakreshwar Pandit, everyone. And they were so happy, they all assembled at Advaita Acharya's house. And the result of this service by Kala Krishnadas was that all the devotees came together at Advaita Acharya's house and they had a 3-day festival of non-stop chanting and dancing and feasting. And then after this festival, they all came together and decided that we should now go to Jagannath Puri and we should meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So apparently he is a fallen devotee, but because he has taken shelter of devotees, there is hope. So what happens is when we take shelter of devotees, we get kripa, mercy. What is mercy? Radha Gopinath Prabhu gave a very shocking definition a few days ago in one class. That mercy basically means to know who you are. So when we come in association of devotees and we take shelter of devotees, our own hidden motivations, our own anarthas, we are exposed to. We are forced to come face to face with these anarthas. And it's tough, but we have to accept. And because in every activity in devotional service that we are doing, there is pretension, because that is what we have been trained since childhood, to show what you are not. to display certain qualities or to pretend that you are more advanced than what you are. So even when we come in front of the deities and we are making a prayer, that prayer is not meaningful because there is so much of duplicity and pretension. But when we take shelter of devotees, devotees, they give mercy, they cut through this illusion and they expose us to our own agenda, motivations. So when we come to when we have to come to terms with it, it's very humbling. So one requires courage and humility to accept it. And thus he becomes more sincere, more honest in his devotional service. Therefore, shelter of devotees helps us to take shelter of Krishna better. And shelter of devotees also, we have to take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. And shelter of holy name, the acharyas explain, means to actually cry for Krishna, to beg Krishna in the form of his holy name, to allow us to serve the holy name by chanting attentively. When Srila Prabhupada was inaugurating the Bhuvaneshwar ISKCON temple in 1977, he mentioned this, that we are starting a school here. ISKCON is a crying school, Prabhupada said. This is a school where we teach devotees how to cry for Krishna. Generally, when we come to Krishna consciousness, after some years, devotees think that crying is for a neophyte level. At a mature stage, we don't cry. But actually, if you examine the spiritual world is full of tears. The Bhagavatam explains that even the cows are crying for Krishna. What to speak of gopas, gopis, and Krishna's associates. So therefore, a devotee who takes shelter of holy name, Sukadeva Goswami explains in the second canto, that heart is steel framed which does not cry when a person is chanting the holy names. Even Vrindavan Das Thakur writes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he's saying, one who chants the holy name, Krishna boli kandile se, Krishna nama mile, dane kule kichu nahe, Krishna na bajile. When we are saying Krishna, Krishna boli kandile se, if there is tears when we are crying for Krishna, Krishna nama mile, only then we can get the holy name of Krishna. Dane kule kichu nahe, Krishna na bajile. And if you don't take shelter of helplessly crying for Krishna, if you take shelter of dhan and kula, wealth, then Krishna na bajile. Then we are not actually worshipping Krishna. And talking about shelter of devotees and holy name, one devotee was mentioning that when he was a young boy, he had very loving family members, very affectionate mother and father. And one particular point of time, because of bad association, he was about to break the regulative principles and he was in a very big mess. But he said at that point of time, he remembered the love that his mother had showered on him and his father had given him. And he said that, I kept remembering that and that gave me the strength to avoid committing the sin and I immediately left that place. So his realization was that if we have that same kind of relationship and love with devotees, then the very fact that, I might break the heart of devotees might give strength to a devotee to avoid falling down. So therefore, there are three things we discussed. Loving Krishna, understanding Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna's holy name and Vaishnavas. And when we practice these three, it's not that we start developing ecstatic symptoms overnight. We will simply get the strength to practice the fourth solution, and that is tolerance. Ultimately, when it comes to this deadly enemy of lust, which Krishna says, Mahashana, Mahapapma, Vidyena, Yavairinam, it is enemy number one. One has to learn to tolerate this urge. Etan vegan yo visheta dhira sarvam api mam prativim sashishyat. Prabhupada used a word for this, neglect. And he said, one has to neglect this desire that as it torments us. And he also said, a person falls victim to this because of three words. I like it. These are the three words which drag a person to commit this sinful activity. We have to tolerate it because we have to know that this is not one lifetime problem. This has been deeply ingrained in our heart for many lifetimes. What to speak of the samskara that we have inculcated in this lifetime also. Like if we take a very conservative assumption, if we assume that a living entity has fulfilled his lusty desires only once in every species of life, during his sojourn in this material world, then also it appears that he has performed this activity 84 lakh times minimum. And if you also make an assumption that he has gone through this cycle of species also only once, if you make this very, very conservative assumption, even then, this activity has been performed 84 lakh times. So how deep the impression would be? Like I remember, if we watch cricket match or some films as a small boy, we don't forget that even years later. And we must have seen at least 200 or 300 movies or cricket matches maximum. And that is so deeply ingrained, what to speak of this deadly enemy. Therefore, one has to accept the fact that it won't vanish in 5-6 years, and one has to learn to tolerate. And when we take shelter of devotees, when we meditate on Krishna's form, when we chant holy names, and we study Shastra, we get the strength to practice this tolerance. Subhak Swami Maharaj asked Prabhupada once, "Prabhupada, is it possible to overcome sex desire completely?" Prabhupada said, "No." So, but he didn't give up. He thought, "I'll ask Prabhupada again." At another place, another time, he again asked this question to Prabhupada. Again, Prabhupada said, "No." He asked 3 times. And all times, Prabhupada said, "No." And finally, when he again asked Prabhupada, finally, Prabhupada said, "Govinda Icha, Krishna's desire. If Krishna wants to free you from this desire, he will give you the strength and he will help you." And to tolerate, there are many tips and many techniques. I remember once in our Brahmachari class, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj had come, and one of the devotees had asked a question that, "Is there any technique or tip to overcome and tolerate this urge?" He gave a very nice technique. He said, "When you are bombarded, just scream at the top of your lungs should actually break, tear apart. And you should scream out Lord Nityananda's name." He said, "Scream Nityananda and scream so loudly that your lungs tear apart, but the condition is your lips should not move." So he said, "Your lips should be closed and you should scream out loudly. And you should feel that your heart is tearing apart as you're screaming." And he says, "You will feel relieved immediately." And many devotees vouch for this, that this is a very powerful technique. And Devamrita Maharaj then said, "Try this, do this." He was very emphatic. So therefore, we have to practice tolerance, we have to practice these techniques. When Shubal Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, when his wife ran away with a boyfriend, and he was very despondent, that time Prabhupada said, "We should not be disturbed by all these things that are happening. We should celebrate the fact that we are still together and we are executing Krishna consciousness. And take shelter of Krishna." One devotee is explaining how to take shelter of Krishna. He was saying that he learnt it from his young 4-year-old boy. He said one day his 4-year-old son was running at home naked. So this Prabhuji told him, "Shame, shame, shame. You don't feel ashamed? You are running naked?" For this boy, he stopped and told his father, "What I should be ashamed of? You are my father. Why I should be ashamed in front of you?" For this devotee got a striking realization that actually when we come in front of Krishna, in one sense, we are naked. We should be naked in the sense we should expose ourselves completely and we should offer all our anartha and struggles to Krishna for healing. And when we take shelter of Krishna in this mood, shamelessly, then Krishna gives us the strength to overcome this problem. And we generally tell devotees, we tell the whole world, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And someone devotee was saying, actually for devotees it is chant Hare Krishna, struggle in Krishna consciousness and be happy. So it is struggle that keeps us happy. So to conclude, I would like to conclude with one very instructive pastime that is only Vinodadamana Swami Maharaj told us when he was here a few years ago. He was saying that in 1971, when he was flying with Prabhupada and a few other disciples of Prabhupada from New York to London, at the Heathrow airport, he was excited. "Now I will be with Prabhupada. I will see what Prabhupada talks in the temple." And suddenly Shyam Sundar Prabhu told him, "You cannot come to the temple. You stay in the airport and wait for Prabhupada's luggage. One particular suitcase of Prabhupada which contained all his books, which he used for translation and Acharya's commentaries, that had not come from the customs." So Maharaj was told to wait, collect that bag and come. So he waited for 2 hours. And after 2 hours, he bought that bag. He was hungry, he was tired. It was raining heavily. And he struggled and he finally somehow came to the temple with that bag. And he was so exhausted. And he saw that devotees are just finishing a big feast. So he said, "Is there any prasad left?" And they very sheepishly replied, "Sorry, we finished the whole thing." And he was more disappointed. And then he said, "Can somebody help me take this suitcase to Prabhupada's room, which is on the first floor?"
They said, oh, we are so tired of after eating such big prasad, so much prasad, that we don't have strength, we have to carry it alone. And then he struggled and he lifted that bag and he was climbing the stairs. It was a heavy bag. And finally reached Prabhupada's door, and with his back he opened the door and he pulled that bag and he was suitcase and he was going inside. And suddenly he heard Prabhupada's servant, Nandakumar Prabhu, shout, but watch out, you are going to bump into Prabhupada. Immediately he stopped, he turned back, he saw Prabhupada standing. Immediately paid his full dandavats. And to everybody's shock, Prabhupada had never done this before. Prabhupada patted, he slapped Indradhana Maharaj on his back very loudly. 4 or 5 times. And everybody was fascinated by this. What mercy is getting? And then Prabhupada said, a classic statement. Prabhupada told him, so much trouble and struggle and endeavor in this material world. But when I take you back to Krishna, everything will be easy and sublime. So this is Maharaj's realization that in this material world, as long as we are here struggling with this anartha, there is so much struggle, so much endeavor. But once you go back to Krishna, then everything will be blissful. Therefore, it's very easy to remember these solutions. Love, we can remember the first letter of all this and we can form an acronym. Loving Krishna, L. Understanding and knowledge, U. Shelter of devotees, S. And eventually, we tolerate, T. So we can remember by this acronym, LUST, the solution for lust. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class. I had the question of how attraction to Krishna manifests. Like in the case of Kubja, she was attracted to Krishna, but it was in an inappropriate way. So how is it that we can know that we're being attracted to Krishna in the right way?
We can consult devotees if this is bona fide. And the scriptures also say that we have to somehow get connected to Krishna. Ena kena prakarena. So we get connected to Krishna through chanting initially and mainly through hearing. So we can get attracted to Krishna through hearing, because right now we don't have love for Krishna. So how does this love develop? It's actually a systematic science. First step is hear. When we hear attentively, then the second stage comes. That is, we understand. We don't understand Krishna consciousness just like that. When we hear attentively, we can understand. And then when we understand, we can remember. Many times, we have difficulty remembering in college, in school, because we don't understand what is being taught. So when we hear attentively, we understand the subject, and then we can remember. And when we can remember always, like while traveling or while sitting, when the remembrance is there, then we can contemplate on Krishna or on different aspects. And when the contemplation is there, we can practically apply what we have heard. Therefore, we can develop attraction by hearing, firstly, and secondly, by serving devotees. So when we serve devotees, Krishna becomes pleased, and Krishna gives us a taste to hear Krishna Katha more. And Srila Prabhupada always emphasized on this point of having good relationship with devotees. One particular instance, I remember when Prabhupada was in Geneva in 1974, he came to the temple and he asked the temple president, Guru Gauranga Prabhu, he said, where is this Leelavati? I don't see her. She was serving Prabhupada in many capacities. So the temple president said, Prabhupada, she is very sick. She is in the hospital. Prabhupada said, she is in the hospital. Our devotee is taking care of her. So Guru Gauranga Prabhu said, yeah, some devotees go and give her prasad sometimes. And there is a turn, everybody goes. Prabhupada said, all of you have not visited her? He said, no. Prabhupada said, immediately all the devotees should go and meet her and take care of her. So by this instance, Srila Prabhupada showed how devotees should come together and serve. On another occasion, when Prabhupada was in Philadelphia in 1975, he was in his room and one disciple, Sarveshwari Mataji, she would come with a cup of milk for Prabhupada. Prabhupada saw her and Prabhupada said, Sarveshwari, you are expecting a child? You are pregnant? She said, yes. Are you drinking sufficient milk? Are you eating nicely? She said, yes. Prabhupada said, but you are weak. You should take this milk. She said, no, Prabhupada, it is for you. Prabhupada said, no, you should drink this. And Prabhupada insisted, and then Prabhupada called his servant and said, you should ensure that she gets proper food and nourishment every day, and she is able to take care of her health nicely. So Prabhupada was showing us that how we should take care of devotees and how we should serve devotees. When we do that, we also develop attraction for Krishna. So serving devotees and hearing, we can know that we are developing attraction for Krishna. Some other devotees would like to comment or correct? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.